Today is April 8th, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro. By the way, you may have noticed that, contrary to the rest of the technology media world, I didn't make a big deal about Apple's 30th birthday last week. It's because I didn't care about it. Seriously, man, I don't care. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. Here we go, people. I have been chomping at the bit to have a roundup on the subject of Windows on the Mac. You may have noticed that it surfaced in fits and bubbles on a couple of previous shows. I really wanted to talk about the onamac.com project that finished a couple weeks ago. I've been looking for the right way to bring this subject up, but man, this week I got the green light. Now we know how dual booting will work on the Mac because Apple's gotten into the game. Babies, welcome to boot camp. First things first here, I was really impressed with the developer community a couple weeks back after the onamac.com ran a successful grassroots hacker campaign to get XP and OS X to dual boot on an Intel Mac. But the fact is, that solution would have been too difficult and fundamentally untenable for most Mac users. It's always a double-edged sword when Apple decides to develop a solution for a particular problem. Often it wipes out or sidelines a perfectly solid piece of independently written software. Some of you, for example, may have a strong reaction to some of the following words: confabulator, Watson, Fire, maybe even Firefox. In this case, though, Apple's entry into the dual booting situation makes one thing very clear. Booting Windows on a Mac is not going to be an esoteric hack performed by a brave few. Whatever else they might be good for, we can expect that new Macs will at least be perfectly good Windows boxes. Doesn't that just make you happy inside? If you have no idea what all this is about, let me back up to the beginning here. Apple on Wednesday announced a public beta of software designed to let an Intel-based Mac boot either Mac OS X or Windows XP. Boot Camp, as it's called, lets you install Windows XP on your Mac and lets you choose which operating system will run when your Mac starts up. Although it's available in a standalone tool now, it will be included as a feature in the next version of Mac OS X, version 10.5, called Leopard. The application creates a partition on your hard drive to hold the extra operating system and supplies the firmware that lets you choose which OS to use when your Mac starts up. Boot Camp obviously requires an Intel-based Mac along with Mac OS 10.4.6 or later. The process involves burning a blank recordable CD or DVD with the appropriate hardware drivers to get Windows to function properly. And of course, you'll need the single disk version of Windows XP Home Edition or Professional Edition with Service Pack 2 or later. Although your Mac will, at the hardware level, remain a Mac, with Windows running, it will be just as much a Windows machine as any other PC. Apple, of course, has been happy to point out that users will want to keep their virus, spyware, Trojan horse, and all-around malware helmets strapped on tight while riding the Windows bus. Well, they didn't say it quite that way. It's a nice image, though, right? Walt Mossberg of the Wall Street Journal said that his iMac was blazingly fast when running Windows using Boot Camp. The installation process took under an hour, most of which was used to install Windows itself. After that, he installed 15 different Windows applications, including Microsoft Office, and found that all ran normally. Mr. Mossberg reported some bugs present in this public beta version of Boot Camp. Every time you boot Windows, you have to reset the clock and reinstall the printer software. Some peripherals, including the iMac's built-in EyeSight camera, didn't work. And by the way, you'll have to choose C as your target drive for the Windows installation. If you choose any other drive, you risk deleting Mac OS X. Little bit of an oversight. We hear that they're working on fixing those. My favorite bit of critical writing on this subject, though, Rob Pegoraro of the Washington Post, who nominally does a terrific job, he wrote, For now, one thing is clear. Apple made it exciting again to put a copy of Windows XP on a new computer. Seriously? I wonder how many hours it took for that euphoria to wear off. At any rate, the critics were pleased. So was Wall Street. Apple's stock jumped 10% within 24 hours of Boot Camp's release and ended the week up about $8 at $69.79 a share. The analyst reactions were predictably swift and positive. Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster said in a brief research note, "We believe Apple will gain market share in the PC market in calendar year 06, and Boot Camp may serve to accelerate these market share gains." You know, I'm not sure there's any actual information in that sentence. Let's try this quote, also from Mr. Munster. "Many potential first-time Mac users have been reluctant to make the move to Mac hardware, given the tie to the Mac OS. While the Mac OS is highly compatible with applications, the potential for an issue has led many buyers to stay with a Windows-based PC. We believe Boot Camp erases this hurdle and will lead to continued market share gains for Macs in the second half of 2006. Really? Erases the switcher hurdle? We'll talk about that in just a moment. UBS analyst Ben Rizzi's claims that with Boot Camp on Leopard, we believe Apple could benefit from a significant OS upgrade cycle starting in its December quarter. Okay, now that is silly. The only people upgrading to Leopard specifically because of Boot Camp will be some subset of the already small percentage of the Mac user base who have already bought an Intel Mac, and the vast majority of those early adopters were probably going to buy Leopard anyway. What is going on here? The pundits and analysts seem beside themselves with this idea. I mean, I'm excited about it too, but come on, people. It's hard to say right now that Boot Camp is going to totally change the world. In fairness, Mr. Munster did point out the critical business issue here. He estimates that even if Apple could eke out just a point of market share gain, it would add around 15% to the company's earnings this year. So with all this Kool-Aid swigging and general revelry, we carried a report this week on a survey of 12 IT managers, just 12, so take this with a grain of salt, but most aren't interested in bringing Boot Camp-enabled Macs into their organizations. The survey was conducted by Silicon.com. There are two points at issue in Boot Camp adoption. First, Apple is making it clear that they have no interest in offering Windows-related support for Boot Camp. Second, IT managers in the survey felt they could get comparable hardware for lower prices from other vendors. One IT manager in the survey commented, "Why would any business buy Mac hardware just to have the option of running an operating system they don't need?" Yeah, now the gauntlet's down. An operating system they don't need. I imagine some people might debate that point. Anyway, I've heard need is such a relative thing. I, for example, don't need 5 different interns to get me 12 different varieties of coffee before each of these shows. So, IT guys aren't so big on dual boot Macs. Okay, what about the other PC-centric industry out there? Games. Well, Mac game publishers that we contacted are approaching Boot Camp with a mixed attitude. Reactions range from a wait-and-see kind of attitude to very positive reactions. The full article up at the show notes is really interesting. For now, suffice it to say that some welcome the possibility to boost the Mac market share. Others are concerned that the excuse, "Now Mac users can just boot into Windows," will cause game producers to dump their Mac support. Along the lines of those wary game developers, not all the pundits are happy about Boot Camp either. Take as a bellwether the Apple Matters columnist Hadley Stern, who suggests that loading Windows onto your Intel-based Mac will ultimately undermine the Mac software developer community. He reasons that developers may no longer see the value in writing for two platforms when Mac users can simply reboot into Windows. His advice? Buy a Dell or some other PC to run Windows applications separately from your Mac. Right. Still, the conventional wisdom seems to be that Boot Camp is a good thing for the Mac. The argument is summed up very nicely by an article at Daring Fireball, which I'll link to in the show notes. if I may, the article's finest moment is toward the end when Gavin Scherer writes, "This is a move of supreme confidence. Apple relishes the comparison between Mac OS X and Windows XP, and Microsoft has shown enough of Vista that Apple quite obviously isn't afraid of that comparison either." Wow, okay, so that was an earful of news, but let's back up for a bit and talk about boot camp a little more organically for a moment. Joining me in the context machine this week, TMO Reviews editor, co-host of the Mac Geek Gab, and general software and security programmer extraordinaire, John Braun. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ricky.
Why don't we start with some operational details about boot camp? You said that you know some people who have downloaded, been trying to get it going. Very briefly, can you just talk about the general process for installing Windows XP on an Intel Mac using boot camp?
Definitely. And it's amazingly straightforward. They did a really nice job here. So I have a coworker who was installing it. I knew that because at one point I heard a loud beep coming from their office, which meant that they did a firmware update, which is one of the steps. So let me rewind a bit here to go over all the steps here. And actually, there's a very good video online. We can put a link to it that actually shows the process. But anyway, so Intel Macs only, as you pointed out. Very first thing you got to do, upgrade to 10.4.6.
All right, so you go ahead and download this firmware update, and then you get the actual boot camp software, which again you download from Apple, and then what do you do?
Then what you do is you run the boot camp assistant. So there's a very nice assistant that guides you through a few steps that you have to take before you actually install Windows. They keep warning you, and you know, take the warning seriously, that you know, this is beta, this could destroy everything. It probably won't, but you know, make a backup. When they say beta, they mean beta. So if you install it and things get ruined, you know, please take precautions.
So, now, since you're mentioning this, did anything happen strangely with this beta software? Did anything beta-ish happen where you're like, whoa, that's really bad, I'm glad I didn't do this with an important machine?
No, nothing that I saw, but I think, you know, you want to be cautious because one of the things that it does, so I'll go through some of the tasks it accomplishes and then, you know, where I get nervous. So one of the first things it does is it burns a CD for you that has the drivers that Windows needs to address the hardware on the Intel Mac. And that was one of the problems for a lot of people that were just hacking around out there, was how do you get the drivers, the proper drivers, to take full advantage of all of the hardware in there. Now, most of it, you know, the good thing now is with the Intel Macs, more of the hardware, and this has been a trend for a long time, is that Apple is not doing their own thing for the most part. They're off-the-shelf memory, off-the-shelf hard drive, off-the-shelf video chipsets and things like that, and I think that's going to improve now that they're on the Intel platform. So you burn a driver CD, but then the next thing, now it's kind of neat though, is what you have to do is partition your hard drive. Now that always makes me nervous. Every machine that I've used, now some folks that I associate with feel very strongly about partitioning your drives, so for programs, for data, things like that. Unless you're installing different operating systems, I don't know, I just tend to want to keep it simple and just stay on a single partition. So what it'll
do... Now, very briefly, we should explain partitioning the hard drive simply means that you essentially cordon off portions of the memory in the hard drive. This part, it's as though you split up a single physical drive into two or three entirely separate hard drives. They're all on the same piece of hardware, but you essentially say to the computer, treat these as separate drives. So you cordon off space on the drives so that they won't pollute one another if something on one partition does something strange.
Yeah, and actually that's the theory a lot of times why some people like to partition, is that it isolates data in one or the other section. And from the Mac's point of view, so when you go through this partitioning operation, it then appears as you pointed out, basically separate hard drives. The nice thing is that this is a non-destructive partition utility. A lot of utilities, when they partition, one of the nasty side effects is that they destroy everything on the drive that you're partitioning. But in this case, from all the reports that I've seen, it's a non-destructive partitioning, so that's very nice. So once you go through and run the bootcamp assistant and you say, okay, I'd like this portion to be my Mac, my existing stuff, and then set aside this much space, I think the default is like 5 gigs, for the Windows installation. At that point, once you've partitioned, then it asks you for a Windows CD, so you have to go out and buy a copy of Windows. And then from that point on, it's pretty much a Windows install, for better or worse. And that can take a while.
And up to that point where you begin installing Windows, how long does the process take?
From what I could see, I mean, it was incredibly quick, like 5 minutes. The longest part is probably, depending on your CD hardware, would be the burning of the Mac driver CD. So if you got a slow CD burner, then it may take a while. But that's really, other than that, I mean, the partitioning is very quick. It's not sitting, none of these steps are sitting here and churning. So the most of your time is going to be spent downloading the 10.4.6 update and applying the firmware update.
All right, so now let's just ask the question for everyone out there who's wondering whether or not they could do this. I'm curious. Let's take the spectrum of computer users and say that from 1 to 10, with 10 being, you know, a sysadmin, a systems administrator who's a total tech guru, and 1 being a grandma, a technophobe, doesn't know what's going on with a computer, doesn't really know what exactly the mouse does. Somewhere in that spectrum between 1 and 10, what level of computer user or computer savvy person would you say have to be in order to do this with confidence?
I'd say it's probably not for grandma, but I'd put it up there maybe at about a 3 or 4 level. I mean, you have to be comfortable downloading software. You have to be comfortable downloading disk images. You have to be comfortable when Safari comes and says, you know, would you like to, do something with this disk image that I just downloaded? And you have to be comfortable with double-clicking on an installer. So that's why I'm going to say, you know, maybe not for, because there are some people out there that may never install anything on their computer. They just buy it. They just want to use iLife or something like that. And they're totally happy with what they have and never even get into the world of installing software. So
it sounds like if you're confident enough to install Windows itself, you should be confident enough to use Bootcamp.
Yes, absolutely.
There was one of the comments that I'm interested in talking about here. There was a Wall Street analyst that I talked about earlier in the show that said that Bootcamp eliminates, he used the word eliminates, the barrier for switchers. That is the barrier for Windows users who are saying, I want to get a Mac, or I'm thinking about getting a Mac, but I don't want to give up Windows. He's saying it eliminates that barrier. Is this so easy that it actually eliminates the barrier for someone who has only used Windows before and might want to try out the Mac?
I would say it's pretty darn close. It basically it gives you an Intel-based Windows XP machine that, you know, now there are some things that are missing. I don't think it will totally eliminate it. Like, for example, some of the work that I do involves a computer with a parallel port. This is doing embedded software development and all that. The Macs don't have parallel ports, so there may still be some hardware dependencies. So for certain specific types of PC work, it may not be a replacement. But for general use, like I think I mentioned, I had a colleague who recently got a Mac and also installed this, and he seems to be doing pretty well so far. Hasn't even actually had a need to run Windows. He seems to be, you know, he's got Office for the Mac and all of that. So I think it's one less hurdle. There are going to still be applications that you have to run on a PC, but this eliminates the speed issue. I mean, it's not like virtual PC, which is, you know, I mean, it's amazing they can do it at all, but virtual PC is a dog.
Yeah, it runs pretty slowly.
That, to me, is not a viable day-to-day solution for people that do want to run Windows on a Mac. It's okay for very occasional stuff. I think it serves that purpose, but I would not want to use virtual PC on a day-to-day basis. Bootcamp, though, a Bootcamp machine, yes, that can function for the most part as an XP machine. Now, I think the IT folks, IT folks like to be able to, you know, especially in large organizations, do want the ability, to be able to monitor and manage machines. And I think Macs in general, not really designed that way to allow a high level.
And we'll get into that in just a second. I want to back up for a moment before we start talking about IT departments. It's surprising to me that you say that, and encouraging also. I was pretty skeptical when I saw the comments of that analyst saying, "Oh yeah, this hurdle's gone. People, if they want to you know, if they want to try out the Mac, this is a solution that's going to be totally easy. And I was pretty skeptical of that. So it's interesting and encouraging to hear you say that, particularly because it'll only become easier once it's built into Leopard. Let's move on for a second and talk about the types of users specifically who might have an interest in this. And you started to talk about it, people that do programming work or need to work with both the Mac and the PC. If we were going to take the universe of computer users, I might split them up into three big categories. One of them would be consumers, straight consumers, like home users, students, maybe teachers. Then there are the independent kind of professionals like photographers, graphic designers, the music and movie editors, math and science people that do modeling. And then the third category are enterprise business. So let's take a look at those first two, consumers and independent professionals. Among them, do you have the sense that this is a really exciting idea, the ability to dual boot a Mac?
Absolutely. I mean, if you had to spend your money on either a Windows laptop or a MacBook Pro, if you go the Mac route, you can run Mac OS X, you can run Windows, various flavors of Windows, in one machine. You don't have that ability as of yet on the Intel side. You cannot, and nor do I think they're ever going to outright support OS X being something that's going to install on any Intel machine that you like. So to me, I don't see any downside for a general user, because you're basically now getting two machines in one, and you are not taking the performance hit of running a virtual environment. So
all right. So it sounds like this would be pretty exciting, both for consumers that just want to try out the Mac, and also for anyone who's in a position where they might, professionals who are in a position where they might truly have to run stuff on two different systems. Let's talk now about enterprise clients. Now, you work at a classic example of a corporate enterprise type of firm, a Fortune 500 company. There's been a lot of debate this week on blogs and on news sites and editorials and whatever else about whether boot camp will change the way IT departments do business. Now, given your experience with IT people, with IT departments, what do you think their reaction will be to the idea that they could buy a Mac and dual boot it?
I still think, I mean, that in of itself, I think is a good thing, and I think it meets some of their needs, at least from the manageability point on the Windows side. You know, being able to apply security updates and just do certain control operations remotely. But there's still going to be, when you are on the Mac side of things, some things there that are still lacking that they may still want. So I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think if anything, it may be more of a kind of a stealth way to try to get some of them in an enterprise, so the folks can see how it is to deal with the hardware and how it is to deal with the company, because Apple's kind of had it on off relationship with enterprise customers. I mean, at this point now, you know, with Xserve and X-Raid and some of those enterprise level products, they're making some inroads, but I don't know if they still have a track record that makes a lot of IT people comfortable. So I can still understand their apprehension, because Apple is sometimes, you know, especially another thing that the IT crowd typically likes, and they could typically get on the other side of the fence, is just, you know, like a roadmap. You know, where is the company going? Like, for example, the change that they just did here, while it does make it an Intel machine, I mean, that's something that surprised a lot of people. And if there's anything, you know, especially if you're in a group that's meant to support a large number of people and also, you know, try to anticipate their needs, pulling switches like this doesn't make them happy.
It sounds, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying that IT departments, the fact that Apple shrouds all of its product development in complete secrecy as best it can, makes it difficult for IT departments to plan what their own technology plans are going to be. And so things like the Intel transition at Apple, or even new releases of the operating system, or updates to various basic software that Apple writes, it makes it really hard for IT departments to work with them when they don't know what's going on at Apple.
Yeah. Now, if you're big enough, they may, you know, everything's negotiable. They may want to, you know, clue you in under NDA or stuff like that. But, I mean, both you and I, you know, have experienced, I think, firsthand sometimes the lack of information coming from the company about certain things down the road. So there's, on the other hand, I mean, they have to maintain their edge as far as innovation and coming out with new products and all that. So it's, you know, it's a tough balancing act.
Now, you talked about something really interesting in passing. You said it might be dual booting Macs might be a good stealth way to get Macs inside of corporate environments. Can you talk a little bit more about that? One of the ideas that people have been talking about and that seems reasonable, users within companies or even entire departments within very large companies might really like the Mac, and they might have been wishing, you know, I wish the IT department would let us buy Macs. And if they could, you know, get their own Macs or convince the IT department just to let them, let that department alone get Macs and dual boot them, maybe that would permit departments or at least specific people to work more flexibly. The fact that they could play nice with Windows when they had to and then use a Mac when they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, how do you imagine that would work in a company? I mean, is that something, are IT departments likely to say, yeah, we'll let this department get Macs?
I think it's, and even in the enterprise that I work, there are certain groups that are mostly, you know, folks who do graphic design and things like that, where the Mac is the platform of choice, just not only for the internal people, but other people that you're dealing with. So that's important. But I think it may be a start, because a lot of times, you know, there'll be certain requirements. They'll be like, okay, well, you have to get a machine that runs Windows XP. So if that's the condition, you know, because a lot of times you can't just go out and purchase whatever you want. You have to go through a B2B system or, you know, get approval from someone in some group before you can purchase a machine. So a lot of times you can't just go out and buy something. You know, especially with corporate money, you have to get certain approvals. So what I'm seeing is that, you know, if the requirement is you got to get a machine that runs Windows XP, then maybe this will be a way to, you know, get the machine in the enterprise and, you know, just to give it some exposure and to see if, you know, it really can do the job. You know, for example, my coworker, you know, he went from a Dell machine to a Mac here, and it's kind of an experiment to see, you know, can it do what he needs in our environment. So I think it's a start.
All right, and one last question. Depending on who you read and where you read it and how people are talking about it, it ranges from this kind of mediocre wait and see attitude up to this is going to change the world. Where in that range of opinions would you say that you fall? How big of a deal is this?
I'm still seeing it more as, and this is just my personal spin, I still see it right now, the first group of people that are really going to help make that decision are the hobbyists and the folks on the bleeding edge here. I just don't know how much of a draw it's going to be immediately. I think a lot of them are going to be wait and see, or maybe let's get a couple of machines and experiment and see how this works out. So I don't think it's going to be, and maybe I'll be wrong, but I don't think there's going to be, you know, an immediate, and you know, I'm an Apple stockholder too, so I like, you know, the more machines they sell, the better. I think it may actually help maybe balance, so it may actually help, because the one problem now is that with the processor switch and all that, there's been, you know, some people on the fence as far as buying the machine. I'm wondering if this could offset, you know, some of the apprehension that people had about the platform switch now that this is almost, you know, doing the opposite. It's giving you more options rather than less options. So,
and in fact, I mentioned earlier in the show, one thing we can be sure about, if you buy a new Mac, the worst thing that happens is you buy a perfectly good Windows PC, right?
And it's not quite there yet. And they're, you know, I think the other thing this could do is just, you know, open up some people to some of the you know, unique features on the Apple hardware, which are still nice. You know, FireWire is, you know, very nice. The backlit, the built-in, you know, the whole package there. I think it could, for those who choose to get the machines, I think it can really help them get a lot more exposure in the enterprise. And I think that's a good thing.
Great. Well, that's going to have to be the final word. John, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Ricky.
As always, if you have questions, comments, thoughts about the news, or if there's someone that you'd like to hear from in the context machine, go ahead and send me an email at roundup@macobserver.com. Just one quick item I figured we ought to cover for the product roundup this week. Given the oodles of time we just spent on Apple's crack at the Windows on a Mac solution, it seems only fair to at least mention this product. Parallels on Thursday released the beta version of Parallels Workstation, which enables Intel Macs to run Windows inside a Mac OS X window, eliminating the rebooting required by boot camp. The solution supports various x86-based operating systems, including Unix, Linux, and various types of Windows. Parallels Workstation makes use of virtualization technology built into Intel's Core Duo processors. Unlike slow software-based emulators, Parallels Workstation splits the processor's attention between different operating systems, enabling each one to run directly off the hardware. When the final version of Parallels Workstation is released, it will cost $50 US to register. Each operating system loaded on the computer must be purchased separately, of course. Head to the show notes at macobserver.com/roundup for the relevant links. And that's the news. Thanks for listening to the weekly roundup. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, and the bass is by Boom for TMO. Stay subscribed, and until next week, we'll see you online.